So these words are from the scripture. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at the disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life?" The work of Jesus involves suffering. He tells the disciples plainly that the Son of Man is to be rejected, undergo great suffering, to be killed, and then he'll rise again. Now, the title Son of Man is a messianic title. It came to be connected to the Messiah. It was one of Jesus' favorite terms for himself, in part because it combines human traits and divine traits in the same person. There is a vision in the book of Daniel which describes the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days, or the Lord. And the Son of Man, it goes like this. Daniel sees this. "I watched in the night visions, and I saw one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed." These words seem to fit Jesus exactly, don't they? He's from heaven, and yet he's a human being. He's divine and human. He will, in the last days, be honored with everlasting honor. He is one whose kingship does not end. But Jesus does qualify this Son of Man business out of Daniel 7. It says here that the Son of Man will be served. And Jesus said later on in the Gospel of Mark, I came not to be served, but to serve. So he qualifies it. He's saying that he's going to be one who enters into a path of suffering. He will serve. Now, eventually, in the very last days, Jesus shall return in glory and he shall be served. In fact, it says in the book of Philippians, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So he will be served eventually. But for right now, as he walked this earth, he serves. His work involves suffering. And so he wants to add to this messianic notion. And for so many of them, the Messiah was to be one who would conquer, and put enemies down, wipe them out. Jesus qualifies this because he will serve. And so he combines the role of Messiah with the role of the suffering servant, another figure in Scripture who lays down his life. Jesus is the Messiah who suffers. Because God wants us to know that God enters into the pain of the world to serve. Peter doesn't like it. And we don't want a Messiah who suffers. We want a conqueror. So he takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. I don't suggest you rebuke Jesus. It's not a good idea. He rejects Jesus. The word rebuke is a word that's usually used when devils are cast out. Jesus used it one time when there was a terrible storm and the disciples were on a boat in the Sea of Galilee and they thought they were going to perish. And he rebukes the wind and the waves, and the storm calms. And they say to Jesus, truly, you are the Son of God. He rebukes Jesus. And Jesus has some rough words for him. Get behind me, Satan. Now, you know what the word Satan means, don't you? It means opponent or adversary. I doubt that Jesus is calling him the devil. All right? Jesus has too much respect for that. I think he's saying, get behind me, you who oppose me. Get behind me, adversary. It's still a harsh rebuke. The reason I think that is because Jesus goes on to explain what he means. You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. If he was calling them the devil, I think he would say, you're not setting your mind on divine things, you're setting your mind on demonic things or evil things. But instead he says human things. In other words, you're trying to save your life, guard your heart. You don't want any pain or suffering. You are more apt to want to protect yourself than really being about protecting others. Peter resists the suffering. But Jesus tells him to embrace the cross. To take it up. Deny yourself. It's not all about what you want, Peter. It's about what God wants. It's about bearing the burdens of the world. It's about entering into others' pain. It's not about you. And so he says that. You want to save your life, you'll lose it. I have a quote from Madonna. Do you know who Madonna is? She's a highly sexualized singer who's well into middle age now. All right. But she sold millions and millions and millions of records. Quite wealthy. Here's a quote from her. It's one of the saddest quotes I've run across. I have an iron will, and all of my will has always been to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy. I push one spell of it and discover myself. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being. And then I get to another stage, and I think I'm mediocre and uninteresting again and again. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. And that's always pushing me and pushing me. I still have to prove that I'm somebody. My struggle has never ended. And it probably never will. You want to save your life, take the risk out. You'll lose it. Jesus serves. He does not guard his heart. He breaks it open to receive all the pain of the world. And empowers us to take up the cross and bear the burdens of this world.